Welcome to the Fine Food Freedom Podcast. This is your host, Sammy Previtt, registered dietitian, certified intuitive eating counselor, certified personal trainer, and the founder of Fine Food Freedom. Fine Food Freedom is a virtual private practice made up of a team of intuitive eating professionals, and we also just so happen to host this amazing podcast. This podcast is for you if you are ready to remove the guilt and shame associated to food, body, and movement. Our team is dedicated to helping you find food freedom and rediscover how to feel physically, mentally, and emotionally pleasant in your body. Please note that this podcast is for informational and educational purposes only and does not take place of professional therapy or medical care. We have tons and tons of free resources on social media, so I want to invite you to follow along at find.food.freedom on Instagram or Find Food Freedom on TikTok. You can always head over to findfoodfreedomresources.com to find out what current events, specials, and all things Fine Food Freedom that are going on. Also, if you enjoy this podcast, please make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. This helps other people find the podcast that really need it. And when you review, please leave some comments, some questions. Let us know what you want to hear more of. So thank you so much for being here. And we look forward to supporting you and walking alongside you on your food freedom journey. Now, let's get into it. Welcome back to another episode of the Fine Food Freedom Podcast. This is your host, Sam Previtt, and I am delighted that you are here. It's Friday as I'm recording this, and I am simply overwhelmed by the amount of you who have DM'd me or wrote a comment on our page about my personal journey with Lexapro and anxiety medication. And if you have not already, I want to invite you to go over to the What the Actual Fork podcast and listen to the episode I put out about two weeks ago called Live, Laugh, Lexapro. And that episode was all about my personal journey with anxiety meds, kind of how I got to this place of wanting to take them again. So I share when I first took them over 10 years ago and kind of how I've gotten to this place of wanting to take them. Now, when I recorded that episode, I had not yet taken them again recently. I was talking about kind of just like the resistance I had to taking them and how I've had my script filled for months and I was just like sitting on it, waiting for it. And the amount of you that reached out and let me know that you listened to that episode and that you also had a script filled and were waiting to take it and didn't know why you were waiting to take it. Thank you for making me feel less alone. And so this episode I wanted to do is 1 week into taking Lexapro. And I want to talk about the things that I wish I knew a week ago. And I also want to talk about how helpful every single one of you have been who have been in conversation with me, again, in the direct messages, in my inbox, in the comment section about your journey with anxiety and depression medication and just what worked for you, what didn't work for you. Of course, this goes without saying that I am not a physician and this should not be used, you know, in place of meeting with a physician. This is just informational and educational purposes only. And this is also my lived experience. And it's so important to recognize that everybody's journey with these prescription medications is going to be different. So I'm just sharing. So if you're thinking of taking one of these medications, you can feel less alone. Because again, this is just information that I really wish I would have had a week ago. Now, I'm going to take the quickest of, I don't want to even say breaks. I want to take a quick second and do our Fine Food Freedom win of the week before we really jump into the bulk of this episode. So if you didn't know this, if you're new here, every single week I will highlight a Fine Food Freedom win of the week. This is something maybe someone from our membership sent in. Maybe it was a client of ours that uses their health insurance for one-on-one counseling. It could be just somebody in the DMs that maybe I've never even personally spoke to or doesn't work with our team of virtual dietitians, but they've followed our content and they want to let us know how it touched their life. So I just read this one a few hours ago and I immediately screenshotted it. I have so many screenshots of messages that people have sent that I call them like my why, right? Like, why do I keep going? Why do I keep doing this? And when I say this, I mean like showing up on the internet and giving all of my personal details about my anxiety medication journey, or when I've talked about my years of infertility, or, I love helping people. And I think one of the biggest ways you can help someone is be vulnerable and share your experience so somebody in the world feels less alone. So this message I received today from Caitlin, and it says this: "You have saved my life twice. First with finding food freedom from binge eating, and now through your honesty postpartum. I had horrible postpartum anxiety and depression and rage with my first, and now I'm expecting my second. I now plan to take care of my mental health first and foremost throughout this journey. Thank you for everything you do on this corner of the internet." Heart emoji. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Caitlin, for sharing that with me. And I sometimes question when I share things, like, for example, this. And when I say this, I mean like my Lexapro journey. I really grappled with, should I share it? Should I not? Are people even going to care? Like, and here's why I did. Like I just said, one, if I can help somebody feel less alone, especially from like a mental health and postpartum perspective, then it's 100% worth it for me. But two, since I've shared it and started talking about anxiety and depression medications, so many people have brought to my attention, and this is my thin privilege showing, that they were not taking the medication due to the symptom or the fear of the symptom of weight gain. And I have never thought of that. I mean, I've seen people talk about weight gain, and in my head, I'm like, and again, maybe this is because of the amount of work that I've done in the body image space, where I'm like, even if I gain weight, like, that, I don't care, like, if it's going to impact my mental health positively. So it could be that, or again, it could be my thin privilege showing, where I'm like, I know that even if I gain weight, like, my body's not going to reach a point of being, heavy air quotes, not okay by society standards, right? By this unrealistic beauty standard. So it could be an array of reasons why I've kind of brushed over that, but so many people have brought that to my attention. And I think that there's a lot of layers to this conversation that I might not necessarily dive into that today, but I do think I want to get to that and maybe do future episodes on weight gain with these medications. And if and kind of poll the audience on Instagram and see if anybody else had resisted taking them for that reason, and then started taking them and realized how life-changing they were and wish they would have taken them. So I think there's a lot that we can discuss here, clearly. So let's talk. Okay. If you haven't already, if you're really interested in this, if you're like, oh wow, I'm so excited for this episode, I would recommend going and listening to the Live Laugh Lexapro episode I did on What the Actual Fork, because that's going to shed a lot of the kind of like prerequisites, if you will, to this episode. It's not like you have to listen to it to understand what I'm talking about today, but I think it'll get more context. The summary of that, long story short, I had terrible postpartum anxiety and depression after my first child. I had gotten a Lexapro script filled before I gave birth to my second in April. And she was a scheduled C-section due to placenta previa, ended up in the NICU for 2 weeks. I ended up doing really well initially postpartum, and then more recently, some of the postpartum anxiety has started. It's presenting in a much different way than it was with my first. And that's where, again, I talk more about that in the previous episode. Now, I've always had anxiety. I go to a therapist. I've done talk therapy now for 4+ years. So that's not new to me, like experiencing anxiety symptoms. But I will say, since becoming a mother, I think some of that has been exacerbated, and which makes sense, because when you think about two children, which are these like extensions of yourself running around, and you can't control what they're doing or what's happening to them. That just adds additional anxiety. Because when you think about anxiety, it's all about this lack of control that we're yearning for, right? And I think anxiety has given me the false sense of control in my life, where when I am trying as best I can to control everything, it makes me think like nothing bad is going to happen, when really it's just driving me fucking crazy and putting me on edge. And if any of you, I think I mentioned this in the previous episode that I was referencing, but if any of you have seen Inside Out 2, they do an amazing job of like showcasing what anxiety looks like in the brain. And I feel like the scene when she's having the anxiety attack and the character Anxiety is whipping so fast that like she's paralyzed, the character Riley is paralyzed, like that is so powerful and I couldn't relate more to it. But anyways, let's get back to what today's episode is about. It is the 1 week check-in, if you will, and I put a question box up on Instagram and said, can you please share your symptoms with me? If you take a medication, what were your symptoms like the first week of starting that medication? And anytime I put question boxes up or polls up on Instagram related to Lexapro or any anxiety medication, it's like the most engagement I've ever had on my account. And so that again is another like positive thing, in the sense that I can tell people really want this information or people want to learn about it. That, in addition to all of the direct messages I've gotten of people thanking me for talking about it, or when I put a question box up, people saying like, I want to see the results. Like, I want to know what you're talking about here, or like what people say. So instead of like screenshotting thousands of pages, which just isn't the best way, I figured why not kind of condense it into this podcast episode and get you that information that you want. So we're going to head into now my own personal symptoms, but I also want to share the most common symptoms, maybe some that I wasn't experiencing. So if you were thinking of starting this medication, you can know what to expect and what is, air quotes, normal. So let's talk about my personal symptoms that I experienced. So I started the medication 1 week ago today. And the first symptom, I didn't really feel anything the first day. There was like maybe a few hours after taking it, I said to my husband, I was like, I feel like a little panicky, shaky. And I don't know if I'm just in my head because I was like so built up about taking this medication. But that was it. Like, it was like a few hours after, I was like, I might be dizzy, I might be panicky, I don't know if I'm in my head. And then that was it. The next day, I woke up with a rip-roaring headache, like extreme headache. Now, I have been blessed by the gods that I don't get headaches. I think I've had one migraine my entire life, and I'm so sorry for all the migraine girlies out there, because I know there are people that get them so frequently, and like, bless your heart, because I don't know how you function with a headache. I had a headache for multiple days. I would say like yesterday was probably the first day it let up. So this was like a headache every single day, pretty much all day. I didn't take Advil to alleviate it, which I probably should have, but I kind of was like, well, I know why I have the headache, so I'm just going to kind of let it ride. Extreme dry mouth, which I'm already like dry mouth, extra thirsty from breastfeeding. So now this was like extra dry mouth on top of it. I was very, very, very like extra anxious. This is like day 2, 3, 4, 5. I was very extra anxious, panicky, racy thoughts, like more on edge than I already am. So that was really fun. And then the one that really started to freak me out, which some of you might have seen on my Instagram story, which we'll get to, that led me to getting an EKG, was I started to have like really sharp chest pains. And again, I never have chest pains. I know some people get chest pains from anxiety. Like, that's a physical symptom that you can feel in your body, like a tightening in the chest. Maybe I've gotten a tightening in my chest over the years, but I think like that It was not that. It was a sharp shooting pain where it felt like a knife was going in and then coming, like as soon as it would go in, it would come out. Like it wasn't staying. It wasn't like a lingering pain. It was sharp. It was shooting and it was quick and it was random. And that started on day two. It was like day two, three, four. And I was like, this like can't be normal. Like, and then of course, I know they say like, don't Google, but like I'm coming into it as a medical professional, like informed. A lot of my clients take anxiety and depressive medications. So I was like, okay, let me look into this. And it was like, if you're experiencing like heart palpitations, chest pain, or like a certain other things, it was like, call 911. And I was like, great. So I'm like, okay, what do I do? And I wasn't trying to get like, I was like, okay, it's going to go away. Like, it'll be fine. And then it kept coming. And then I was like, what if, of course, anxiety, hello. Obviously, I'm more anxious because of the meds anyways. But I'm like, what if I die? Because I was trying to like take this med for my mental health. And then I started to like spiral. And I was like, fuck it. Like, you have health insurance. You have access to a doctor. Like, why not just go get checked out? So I ended up, we got the girls down for bed, and like two nights ago, I went to an urgent care where I had been to this urgent care facility like 2 weeks prior to get an antibiotic because like, hello, daycare germs. And I saw a PA there. Her name was Morgan. Shout out to the Morgan and Care spot, Ponte Vedra Beach. I think it was in Neptune. Anyways, and she was fantastic. She was one of the best. I'm literally kid you not, one of the best urgent care doctors, but let's put her in like the primary care physician. She used to be a primary care physician bucket. She's just so like nurturing and empathetic and listens and validates. And I'm sorry, but I have had so many experiences that are nothing like that. Anyways, she was like that a couple weeks ago for me when I got the antibiotic. So I was like, I really hope she's there because I'm anxious and she would calm me down. And she was there. And I was so grateful. So like her medical assistant did my EKG. She read my results. My EKG was normal. My heart looked great. She listened to my heart. So like, I just needed to hear from her like, hey, it's okay. Your heart's okay. But if this can like keeps up, she's like, obviously follow up with your primary care physician. Let's see if you need to switch medications, if you need to switch the dosage, et cetera, et cetera. So who knew that I'd be getting an EKG week one of starting Lexapro? But I had gotten to some Reddit threads of people saying like, hey, if you have chest pain, if you have throbbing, you know, whatever, like don't mess around. And like, I'm not here to mess around, right? I need to make sure I'm okay. So then I met with my doctor this morning to talk about the EKG results and then just like, again, talk about, hey, like, okay, you started out on 10 milligrams. She thinks the chest pains were due to a serotonin rush, which my body just like wasn't ready for. She's like, I would have tapered you on and started with 5 and then we could have gone up to 10. So now we're backtracking and I started the first week on 10 milligrams and now I'm tapering down to 5 for like a week. Let's see how I do. See if I'm starting to feel some positive benefits. And then on like, if I want to try to go back up to 10, I can, but she thinks my body was just like shocked. Like the system was shocked by boom, just hitting it hard with the 10. And I wasn't really thinking because when I hear 10 milligrams, I'm like, that sounds so small. Like my levothyroxine, I take 75 milligrams. So, and obviously every medication is so vastly different of like what is considered a large quantity, but that's not neither here nor there. So my biggest piece of advice is taper on slowly because apparently your girl just did it too quick, too much, too quick with the serotonin. I will say, even though that was the case, like yesterday was the first day and I was still on 10 milligrams yesterday that I didn't feel chest pains. And then today I woke up and didn't feel them, even though I started the 5 milligrams today. And like I will say like yesterday I had a moment of like, I don't know. It was almost like this moment of like a breath of fresh air. It felt like I was like, I don't know how to explain it. Like happy is one way to describe it, but it was like a feeling that I maybe haven't felt in a long time of like contentment. And I was like, oh, is this like the medication starting to work? Again, is it placebo? Because I'm like thinking about it and I know I'm taking it, but it was like, I'm starting to maybe see a positive effect and like some of the negative symptoms will go down. So again, pieces of advice: start slow, make sure you are in communication with your physician and kind of what works, what doesn't work, what feels right, what doesn't feel right. So many of you, when I just shared like a story that I was getting an EKG. So many of you were so sweet and like wrote in and said like, hey, don't forget, like you can change medications, right? Like instead of Lexapro, you can try Celexa or Zoloft or, you know, all these other ones. And I understand that. And I definitely will switch if I need to, but I felt like I didn't think I would be having like this negative effects that quickly. And so my doctor kind of agreed. She's like, let's like taper the dose first versus like switching you right away. So I'm hoping that that's going to be helpful. And again, like I do want to talk about too, like I was very, very discouraged these past few days. I'm now coming out of it, like I said, because I'm not experiencing such negative symptoms. And a lot of you wrote in and said this too. It takes a lot of courage to start one of these medications. Like it takes like a commitment mentally, physically, emotionally. And so to start the medication and then have all of these negative symptoms and be so like scared and like, I'm just trying to feel better. I'm just trying to like improve my mental health. And then this happens. I'm like, what the fuck? Like this sucks. And then I was like, should I just stop it? Like, of course, like your brain, your body, you want to feel pleasant. So there's this part of me that's like, I'm just going to stop it. Like, this was a bad decision. Like I was fine before. Like, I don't need to do this. Like that ran, I knew I wasn't going to do that logically, but that ran through my head a lot. And that was like just really frustrating for me with the fact that I was finally taking the medication. I had it filled for months. I've known that I've needed to take this medication, if I'm being honest with myself and thousands of you, probably for years. And I was just sitting on it and wasn't doing it. And I want to validate, if you feel disappointed because you're feeling these negative symptoms from taking it, like it's, so many of you have told me like, it's not going to be like this forever. You just need to get over that hump. Your body's getting used to it. Like it's just such a weird ass backwards thing that you're taking a medication to make you feel better, to make you feel pleasant, to help you. And then yet it like does the literal complete opposite when you first take it. Now let's get positive here for a second, because I'm going to share, I pulled up here on my iPad, all of the responses. There's like a ton of them, like thousands from you, all of your symptoms the first week. There were so many of you that said you didn't feel anything. Like you didn't feel different at all. Some of you actually said you felt positive things right out of the gate. And again, you were like, I don't know if it was placebo because I knew I was taking this pill. But I think that could be like a positive thing. Like, don't take my story and create fear around it. I'm just sharing it to give you expectations. Also, I think I took too much too soon. So there were so many of you who said you felt nothing or that you felt positive things right away. So that's really, really important piece of the puzzle. Now, something that I have not experienced that a lot of you have talked about is nausea or diarrhea or constipation. Like there, it was like kind of split between, again, thousands of submissions. So if you're someone who's experiencing upset tummy or constipation, diarrhea, or nausea, that is something that is like one of the most common things when you Google it and look at the medication is nausea. I may have had a little bit of it, but I think it was because I was like just so freaked out from the other stuff that when you're like getting shooting chest pains, you're like not feeling your best. A lot of people said sleepy and dizzy. Like I said, there was that first time I felt dizzy, and actually, you know what? Last night I felt a little dizzy too. From a sleepy perspective, I will say the last two nights, when bedtime hits, and bedtime for me is like 9:30, 10, I have been zonked, but not in a bad way. Like I'm ready to go to bed. and so ready that like my eyes are getting heavy, and that like before, maybe if I was tired, I would like push through and just like mindlessly scroll TikTok for freaking hours and wish I didn't. But the last few nights, like I have like got in bed, like shut my eyes and I'm out. Like I am out. Now, my 5-month-old baby decided last night that she wanted to wake me up very often. That wasn't fun, but like I was out like a light. And that was really nice because I feel like part of my anxiety symptoms previously were like just this racing mind, especially when I would lay down and be like, okay, tomorrow I need to do this, 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 but this. And now it's just like, good night. Like I'm out. I'm out. And that, so that's been really cool. Hoping that continues. But I do, a lot of you had brain fog, same, like those first few days. And even now, like I feel like I'm usually pretty good at like, you can tell me on this episode, but I'm usually pretty good at like having a thought process and like sticking through it. Past few days, like I feel like I was just kind of like, where am I? What is going on? It wasn't really fatigue for me. It was more brain fog, but yawning. Like, and now, oh my God. Wait, I'm yawning. Okay, I don't know if that's because I said it. You know how like if you picture someone yawning, sometimes it makes you yawn? That was not staged, I swear to God. But yawning, like last night I went to dinner with my cousins and I could not stop yawning. And it's like, yes, I was tired. I'm always tired. I have a toddler and a baby. But it was like I've been yawning a lot. So that's, but again, it's, I don't feel like it's like tired. It's just yawning. I don't know. Some of you are saying very, very vivid dreams. And I've heard this one a lot, but I'm the complete opposite. Like I don't know if it's because of the medication, but I haven't had any dreams that I remember. So, but a lot of you saying very vivid dreams. Lots of messages in here saying agitation, fidgety, like way more on edge, way more anxious. Definitely the first couple of days, like that's how I would describe it, is like way more anxious, like panicky almost. And that was, again, part of that, like I said, really, really discouraging, like really shook me where I'm like, I don't want to take this. Like, I don't want to do this. And rightfully so, you don't want to feel that way. But I'm hoping by talking about this, it's not going to scare you. It's going to help you to say, okay, these next few days, this next week, whatever it is, like this is going to happen or this could happen. But if it happens, I'm aware of it. I'm educated. I am expecting it. And that can really help. Let's see. One thing I will say, some of you mentioned, there was a lot of therapists and physicians that wrote in too, just saying, hey, like some of my patients get suicidal thoughts, trigger warning here. And so I say this, this has not happened to me personally, but I say it because just knowing yourself, and please be aware if that's something that happens when taking the medication, to tell your doctor or your prescribing medical professional as soon as possible and make sure that you have the support in place if that happens. Other things here, again, nausea, nausea and diarrhea are like all over this inbox. So I say this again, just to really, really, someone said yawning a lot, yawning all the time. Very sleepy, tons of anxiety. A lot of you, nothing really. Took a couple weeks to work. So I say this because I want to give you education and empowerment if you're going to take this medication, not to scare you. And the majority of people, including my physician, say about expect 3 to 4 weeks to really let it work, to really let it run its course. So again, that's when I'm going to be following up with my primary care doctor. And I definitely will be doing another episode once I start to get consistent relief from the medication. And or if I don't and I end up switching medications, then I also want to let you know that and talk about that experience, because this is something that, like, I guess I didn't say previously, that was another piece in addition to like, what if I never come off of it? Or what if weaning is hard? I think another thing that was holding me back is like, what if I have to switch medications and try different doses? And it's just like, it all felt so like, exhausting. I was like, I don't want to do this. But you have to remember, and Julie, actually, our lead dietitian at Fine Food Freedom, she was supporting me and just personally and gave me the wise words of like, that's your anxiety taking over, of again, fearing the future and the worrying and the what ifs. Like, you have to think of the present moment. You have to do what is right for you in this moment and what, you know, get the support that you need. And you have to keep focusing on that. And hearing her say that was just really helpful. So, those are my wise words. I don't know if they're wise at all, but please, please, please make sure you have the proper support. Make sure you have the support from your physicians, whoever's prescribing the medication, someone, multiple people in your life that you can talk to that maybe also take a medication, or just you feel comfortable sharing that you're starting a medication. Be kind with yourself, be gentle with yourself. A lot of the principles of what I talk about related to food and body apply here, where like, catch your negative self-talk. Like, I was, again, giving my own self that negative self-talk of like, I'm so discouraged. I shouldn't do this. I'm just going to come off of it. Like, being able to like catch that and say, no, we're not doing that. Like, here's why we're on the medication. Here's why we're going to see it through. Here's how we're going to get support. And in addition to that, I want to mention, and I said it earlier, like, we have hundreds and hundreds of clients who also take these medications, and we support people day in and day out as a virtual team at Fine Food Freedom to help people make peace with food and body. So if you are like, hey, I take these medications and I also need help with my relationship with food and body image, we would love to support you. So please know that we take health insurance, and you may have 3, 10 or unlimited sessions to work with our team at Fine Food Freedom for one-on-one counseling. We accept Cigna, Aetna, United, BCBS. Every plan is a little different. We are licensed in 19 states. So if you want to get your insurance benefits checked, you can go to bit.ly/FFF insurance. Again, that's bit.ly/FFF insurance, bit.ly/FFF insurance. Get your benefits checked. I can't tell you how many of our clients have no idea that they have these benefits, and then they come back to find they have unlimited sessions. Whether you're on a medication or not, that does not matter. We want to help you make peace with food and body, and I can promise you that the majority of people we work with do have, I would say, like, experience anxiety on the regular. Maybe they don't have anxiety disorder, but if you think about it, when we're obsessed with food and body, it's like we have these racing thoughts and this negative self-talk. And so if you clicked on this episode because you're like, well, I came for the anxiety portion of it, but I'm recognizing that my relationship with food and body is also super unpleasant, we would love to support you. And we're really, really happy that you're here. And we have an incredible team of dietitians that reside all over the nation that are happy to help you. So thank you so much for being here. Don't worry, I will be keeping you updated. I will be doing some more question boxes on Instagram, because it seems that so many of you are, you know, interested in this subject, and it seems like this is helping. And that's why I'm here, is to help you. So if you like this episode, please rate, review, subscribe on Apple Podcasts. And in your review, let me know what you liked about the episode, what you want to see more of. And I'm just so, so grateful that you're here. So thanks for being here with me, and I will talk to you next week. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Find Food Freedom Podcast. Every single time you listen to an episode, it truly makes our dreams come true, helping people make peace with food, body, and movement. If you have not already, please make sure to head over to social media and give us a follow at find.food.freedom on Instagram or Find Food Freedom on TikTok. And if you resonated with today's episode and want more
professional support, please head over to findfoodfreedomresources.com. This is where you can get your benefits checked to see if your health insurance will fully cover that one-on-one nutrition counseling with our team. And we also have so many other virtual resources there. So again, that's findfoodfreedomresources.com for all things Find Food Freedom and to get those health insurance benefits checked. If you have not already, I invite you to rate, review, subscribe, like, share this podcast with anybody that you think needs to hear it. The more that you share this podcast, the more that this message of intuitive eating and food freedom will be out in the world, which we so desperately need. Again, thank you for being here. I cannot wait to chat with you again soon on the next episode of the Find Food Freedom podcast.